Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And it seems like the UFO story and hearings is the story that just keeps on giving, even more than the other stories that keep on giving. We just finished talking with Dennis Mailey. Thought we'd covered the subject, beat those aliens dead like an old horse, and I've got to quit mixing my metaphors, Mark. But
I love mixed metaphors.
Yes. As soon as we get Dennis off the air and I turn to look at my computer, we have new news stories about what else came out in those hearings. But these were documents that the reporters and news services that were covering it. These people didn't testify in public. They provided written documentation or written opinions or written testimony. Let me just read the headline to you. And UFOs once took control of Russian ICBMs, nearly caused World War III. Now, that's a headline to get your attention.
It's got my attention. It sounds like something off the Weekly World News.
Those used to be in the Weekly World News. Now they're on Fox News, and this particular version of it is in the Jerusalem Post, because I didn't want to use just Fox News, even though they source it mostly from Fox News. Because, you know, the Fox News has a reputation. It'd be like if I put it from MSNBC, and you know, you need to get, or really any of those. I think the Jerusalem Post, you know, they have a reputation, and they're not reporting about something in Israel. They didn't say, it's not like they said that the aliens took over Israeli ICBMs or nuclear bombs. So, alright. So here's some of the details. Russian fighter jets once fired at possible extraterrestrial life forms after a pair of UFOs nearly caused World War III to break out. Testimony was given by George Knapp, an award-winning Las Vegas-based journalist who has repeatedly reported on UFOs, now known as UAPs, as we've covered. Now, first of all, George Knapp, it doesn't say what awards he's won, but the fact that he's in Las Vegas means he's in the Nevada. He is known to be friends with Harry Reid. Harry Reid, has Harry Reid passed yet?
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, when Harry Reid was more influential than today, George Knapp was his friend. And if Harry Reid is still around, he still is his friend, by all the reports. But we know that Harry Reid also had an interest in UFOs or UAPs or, you know, flying saucers or whatever. Anyway, according to Knapp, there was a time when the Russian military actually deployed fighter jets to fire on UFOs following an incident that nearly pushed the world into a nuclear war. Now, Knapp said that he had gotten these documents from confidential sources in Russia and managed to release them. And now, it's not going to help the radio audience, but I did in the two links that I sent you, one of them actually has the links to the letter from George Knapp, if you feel so inclined to read multiple pages of fine print about this incident. But
I think I want the high points.
Yeah,
I like the part where they fire on a UFO. I like that part.
Russians had carried out what might have been the largest ever UFO investigation in history, spanning a decade. Well, we've already just heard that we've been doing it for multiple decades.
Yeah, we're America. We can do it better and faster.
An entire breadth of the Russian military echelon. So that's why they couldn't study Ukraine enough to know what they were in for when they crossed the border there. They're chasing things well beyond that. Knapp said he had spoken with a Russian military official, Colonel Boris Sokolov. So
that sounds legit.
That sounds Russian.
It sure does.
Who said that there had been no less than 45 different incidents where Russian fighter jets had clashed with UFOs, with Russian jets crashing in three of these incidents, resulting in the death of two pilots. Now, we did hear from David Grush in the previous hour saying that he knew of American either contractors or soldiers or workers that had been injured in some incidents. And it makes sense, because if they're going to check out our stuff, especially through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you ought to go check out Russia. I'd like to know what China has to say about all this. One incident really raised alarm bells, according to some.
Well, China's risen in stature in the last couple of decades, whereas before that they didn't have much. I mean, what were they going to do, throw pitchforks at them?
Well, they've been beyond pitchforks for quite a few decades now. They got the nuclear bomb by late 40s, early 50s, I thought.
Show me the Polaroid.
Of what?
Whatever. The 8mm film. Show me whatever they got. Because it certainly isn't digital footage.
Okay. I thought you were asking me to show, wanted me to show you the Chinese nuclear bomb. That's beyond my pay grade at the moment. What's the reputation of Raisin Edge goes? Who knows what's going to come flying through the end? Let's see. So, according to Sokolov, the UFOs, quote, somehow took control of the launch system. Well, that just makes sense to me.
You would think their launch system would be analog. Like, it wouldn't be the kind of thing where you can just war games hack into it and take it over. You would think it would be completely analog,
right?
In Russia. I mean, most of our launch stuff, the Minuteman, those sorts of things, were analog for a very long time.
Force of mind over kinetic energy to move the little potentiometers up and down on those things.
If they can travel at super light speed, perhaps they can.
UFOs that appeared over the base performed astonishing maneuvers in front of stunned eyewitnesses. And needless to say on that, then somehow took control of the launch system. The missiles were aimed at the U.S. and were suddenly fired up. I mean, I don't think they were actually fired as in launch.
Right, they were because warmed up. They started the process.
You know, in the Russian technical system of nuclear war, launch is launch. Fired up means hang on, buckle your seatbelts, we're in for a bumpy ride. Launch control codes were somehow entered, and the base was unable to stop what could have initiated World War III. Then, just as suddenly, the UFOs disappeared and the launch control system shut down.
Evidently, what do you suppose this was? Was this like a message that the aliens are sending the Russians? Hey, stop trying to shoot down our ships, or what?
Maybe it was just a test. Maybe it was teenage aliens just having a little fun. They got their super duper universal remote control, like it controls your cable and if you had cable, it controls all your different entertainment systems, and they were playing around with it, and then just as suddenly it shut down, the mom and dad's vehicle got out of range. That happened very fast, you know.
We are the very best people to be talking about this, Henry, because, you know, the decades and decades of research in comic books and science fiction and these sorts of things, we know all the ins and outs.
This is a story that I'm about to tell you that is related, but I have never recounted in 15 years on the radio. So in elementary school, a friend of mine was really into UFO stories and things like that. So we're talking maybe 10-year-old Henry. I don't think I was 12-year-old because I had better things to do by the time I was 12.
And so this is the mid-70s, early 70s?
No, 60s.
Okay.
And I had a Starship Enterprise model, but what I had done, you know, the bridge, the circular part, I took that off. And speaking of Polaroids, I actually used a Polaroid camera on this. The Instamatic Polaroid cameras, black and white.
Uh-huh.
Black and white work much better. So you got the white Star Trek Enterprise deck. You know, not the engines or anything showing. And I took a thin string and suspended it from my swing set.
Yeah.
And then I shot horizontally the Polaroid and captured the flying saucer as it went by, visually as it seemed to go by, because we didn't have VHS cameras. That was still 2 decades
ago. No, hey. Yeah. Polaroid was the peak of technology at the time you're talking about, in 1967.
I had that in no time. And I got that picture, and there was that flying saucer flying between my swings. And, you know, it was. I didn't know the word drone back then, but if I did, I would have said it was an exploratory drone that was flying in my backyard because they knew in their foresight that they should check me out. And my friend comes over and he looks at that picture. What are we gonna do? And I said, I don't know. And, you know, I gave him my
what do you wanna
do? And he goes, we gotta let people know. I said, no, Mark. It was a different Mark. Mark,
yep.
You didn't even exist at the time of this poll.
No.
I think we just want to take a step back on this. You know, nobody's gonna believe it. Anyway. I did not go like these other people saying, oh, nuclear war is about to happen. Of course, we had that anyway, just down in Cuba with what was going on there. Anyway, there was another testimony from Jeremy Corbell. This again was written. He was another investigative journalist and talks about that they've proven, the UAPs have proven they can operate with impunity in our airspace. Occurred almost every day, often within restricted airspace. And UAPs have witnessed, documented, I don't know how he knows they documented, are witnessed, documented, unless he was taken up with them. Maybe. Doesn't scare me. You need to elucidate.
Did you mean the government documented?
UAP are witnessed, documented, and often captured. But yes, I guess that's them being documented, not documenting us. I was misreading that. Thank you for correcting that, Mark.
Okay.
I would hate to think that there's a bad file of me on the Andromeda Galaxy or something.
I want to make sure that there's just nothing misunderstood about this story. I mean, it's already crazy as hell.
We are precise in our language here at Rains and Ed. Let's see. Anyway, he goes on to say they can just destroy us whenever they want. That's what Jeremy says. I think I understand why they didn't want him testifying on the public testimony. You can just write it up for us. To Kathy over there and Josh will help you figure out the proper way to submit this.
Hmm. It's certainly a little bombastic, but you know, I wonder why they're releasing all this UFO information now, right? Like, the thing that is, I always wonder when you really, the juicy stories come out, you know, they've been holding this one for a while. So what is it that's going on that they're trying to distract from? I don't trust these people, as you know. I have very little trust for anybody calling them the politicians. The aliens I have a significantly larger trust for. And I wonder what they're trying... Like, well, you know, hey, this alien stuff's very interesting. Can you release those Epstein files for us? You know, like, those are the kind of things that I'm wondering about.
Well, what makes you trust the aliens more?
I figure if you have developed the kind of technology that allows you to travel from... many, many, many light years away to the Earth.
Or other dimensions, even.
Yep. That, and my supposition is that you have figured out morality and how it works. To my mind, the state and the involuntary actions, the violence that it perpetrates, is a holdover from a time when people enslaved each other. And that we are... evolving out of that. Like, the arc of history bends towards freedom. Well, in my opinion, it's bending towards freedom. And the aliens' arc of history, just a guess, has probably already bent towards freedom. They probably don't understand things like lies.
Oh, well, that's a nice way of thinking about things.
If they want to blow us up, we wouldn't have a moment's warning.
No, they would want something. They must want something from us.
If there's aliens, and if they're coming, they want something. And what is that thing? And the only thing I can come up with is, I like to see animals in their natural environment. I like to see them doing the things that they do.
With a giant theme park next to three planets from the sun.
Yeah, yep, Wild Country Safari.
Yes.
That's how I see it anyway.
I just would suggest that it seems like everything in nature, survival of the fittest.
That's the other end of it.
Why would that make them kinder or gentler?
Because they either made it past nuclear power or they didn't. And the jury's still out as to whether or not we're going to make it. So they're the kind of civilization that makes it past their factions, presuming they have factions, having nuclear power, nuclear weapons.
Okay. Well, I project our base nature on all beings and things except nice, fuzzy little animals.
And that's what all you can do, right? Like, it's hard to imagine what an alien looks like is what has been confronted by so many authors and illustrators throughout the years. Like, what does this alien look like? And all we can do is take the things that we have and transpose them. I mean, it seems really odd and convenient that aliens now are always humanoid. I mean, either they seeded the planet and we are, in fact, some kind of derivative of whatever their DNA is. That's a possibility. Or it's a darned interesting coincidence that they've got a head in the place that we've got a head and shoulders in the place we've got shoulders and arms in the place we've got arms and legs in the place that we have legs and a trunk to go in the middle.
Maybe that's just one group of aliens. There might be just like big amoebas.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. But that's the point, is that you have to reference things that you know in order to create the alien. Right? Like, is you can go wild with your mind and say,
how religion is created.
Indeed, right?
God created us in his image or her image, and it sure seems, every time I read stuff, it seems more like we created God in our image. Or we describe. Well, let me say we describe, because I don't want to. I'm not an atheist, so and I'm about as close to a Christian as I can be. But I would say that our description seems like we're describing God in our image with the throne and all those things that were really symbols of power back 2,000 years ago.
When I went to Bradenton Christian School in Bradenton, Florida, a teacher explained it to me, is that words had to be used to explain to us this fantastic place in order to Sarasota. Understand it. What's that?
A fantastic place.
What about it?
Sarasota. I didn't have time.
Yeah, no.
A little local over there.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Bradenton is the Rio Linda of the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah. We're on.
So, yeah, I don't know what to make of all of this.
Well, let me follow this up. So, it was a male teacher or female teacher?
That was a female teacher, but we had both.
And so they had to use words that we could understand.
Sure.
To describe the fantastic.
Right.
Was that a sanctioned theology by that school? That doesn't sound like...
To my mind, there wasn't much of a sanctioned theology, and frankly, I don't find...
That was many decades ago, but
right.
I was friends with the middle school Bible teacher there, And I don't remember.
Who?
Well, not when you were there. Recently. Okay. Like in the last 10 years.
All right.
And I don't remember that being her point of view on the Bible.
Well, I mean, people have lots of questions that the Bible doesn't answer because it's a 2,000-year-old, it's a guidebook for a 2,000-year-old religion, and we have different interests and concerns today. So, for instance, the Christians would love to know what Jesus thought about cross-dressing people, but we don't really have that information. And, you know, for instance, where do our pets go when they die?
The person that wore the ankle-length robes thought about dressing like the opposite gender that wore ankle-length robes?
It's a very interesting question, isn't it? Jesus likely had short hair, but is always depicted with long hair. How would that first century Sephardic Jew feel about being portrayed with...
The Nazarenes grew their hair out long.
It's possible
their creed and stuff.
Perhaps it is, right? Like, that's another possibility.
No, it does. That's why the Nazarenes are known for their...
But a Nazarene is a sect.
It was a behavior they did. They were supposed to think, Mark, you threw this on me with no show prep.
Yeah,
we read about the Nazarene behavior, and they had a unique way of expressing their religion back in the day. Of course, they weren't Christians at that time because they've blown through our time, Mark.
We should do some show prep next segment.
Yeah, I should keep my eye on the timer when we get all excited. Listening to Reigns and Ed right here on the Free Talk Live Network.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chain Locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The Biden administration says the latest jobs report indicates slow and steady growth for the economy. The comments come after July data showed the smallest jobs increase since 2020. The unemployment rate fell slightly to 3.5%. Wall Street closing the week on a sour note comes as the markets reacted to poor corporate earnings releases. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 150 points. Former President Trump's election case now moving to the pretrial phase after he pleaded not guilty to felony charges.
Lawyers will be filing briefs leading up to the next hearing scheduled for August 28th, where a trial date is likely to be scheduled. Justice Department lawyers are pushing for the case to be tried quickly, while Trump's defense argues it could take years to review the government's evidence and gather their own. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Trump on Truth Social Friday called for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene on his behalf. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network, and it's our final segment for today. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
Yes, you are. And
yes, I am.
Prove that every segment. Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and one ground we haven't covered is the ground that Hunter Biden walks on. And he's still riding. He's still mobile. He's still free to go wherever he wants. The plea deal has been put on the shelf. I don't think it's actually... going to go away. I think something will be modified and we'll get something similar. But, you know, it's good to show people that you can't just walk in with a plea deal and just walk out when everybody's saying, hey, how'd you do that? But more interestingly is how do you get millions of dollars from Chinese or Ukrainians or assorted ethnic and national groups from around the world?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, but I think that plea deals are also very interesting. I wonder to myself in many cases how the people of the United States or whatever circuit or district or state that we're talking about in any given circumstance, how they're served by plea deals. It seems like a plea deal is a deal between a criminal because... that's what they make everybody, right? And bureaucrats. And we pay the bureaucrats to work, and they're not. And we want criminals punished, at least to some level, in order to teach them and society as a whole that crime doesn't pay. I remember hearing that. What's that?
A deterrence.
Yeah, you want this deterrence. You don't want people to just be able to get away with things. Now, in my opinion, the United States, we just, you know, we throw sentences around. Like, you know, toss somebody in prison for 10 years, and that's ridiculous. I mean, I think that in many cases, if you're going to teach somebody a lesson, you can teach them in 2 years what you could teach them in 10. Now, I'd certainly say there's some percentage of the population you can't teach at all. And how do you handle that? You know, these are different questions.
What are you able to teach them in 2 years?
I think that you know, a lot of people who go to prison. What's that?
Not calculus.
Well, that's not the goal. That's not the point.
Not
calculus is not the the level.
Behavior. You can change their behavior or change their values about their behavior.
I think that just the understanding that you're probably not going to get away with it. Like, this is my theory right now is committing a crime. And I'm not talking about the myriad of things that the liars and thieves and the various capitals have written down. I'm talking about an actual thing with an actual victim. You know, the stuff you think of when you think of crime. Robberies, you know, murders, violence, these kind of things. Is going to be very difficult to get away with these days. You're carrying a tracking device around in your pocket, and
cameras everywhere.
Cameras are everywhere, and I think that this is one of the reasons that crimes are just harder to commit these days. Now, you could be out in California where you can just steal whatever you want, apparently, and nobody's going to do anything about it, but, you know, by and large, in most of America, you're not going to get away with it.
But haven't you just stated the problem that there is? You say you want these people to work, but the fact is there aren't enough of them to bring the to do the judicial part, to hold the trials, to try them for defense and prosecution. So that's why they cut the plea deal.
I think that
moving through the pipeline.
Right. So you're saying the asking the question whether we should hire more bureaucrats to do it, or whether if a government says they're going to do a thing. Here's what my theory is. My theory is that 80% of crimes that we run people through the system for are pointless crimes that benefit the bureaucracy, the Byzantine apparatus that has become the state. That the vast majority of places around the world don't have as nearly as many convictions, and don't have, you know, a stunningly more crime. If you look at Canada, Canada is convicting far fewer people. It has a very similar ethnic mix, and somehow that it isn't some chaotic hellhole.
So why is that? They look very much like us. Looks like they were made in our image.
I think we need to figure out a way to integrate certain ethnic groups into the population in order to not continue to have the disenfranchised behavior that we currently have.
All right. Well, talking about behavior we don't want to have. Bring us right back.
Hunter Biden is the poster child for behavior we don't want to have.
Well, there was this... hearing, let's see, it was from the, you know, it's funny, the House Oversight Chairman got to talk about Hunter Biden and UFOs in the same 2 week period.
And so do we.
And by sheer coincidence, Hunter Biden knows a few things about UFOs. Or at least, he's seen a few UFOs.
Unidentified effing objects, yes.
Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, acknowledge that Republicans witness in their probe of the Biden's family business dealings, quote, didn't know anything about unverified allegations that President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden had accepted millions in bribes. So lots to unpack there. First of all, Representative Andy Biggs is a Republican from Arizona. Second of all, I like the way they talked about the unverified allegations and then said, had accepted, that President Joe Biden had accepted millions in bribes, as well as his son Hunter. We'll come back to that. Let me get the details out of this on what people said that participated in it. Devin Archer was the Biden business partner, Hunter Biden's business partner, and part of the growing probe and the testimony. Archer, during the nearly five-hour testimony, said that President Biden was not party to any of his son's business deals and that Hunter had merely tried to sell the illusion that he was providing access to his father. Democrats on the panel said, according to New York Times, I'm sure that it was an unbiased opinion.
Archer, right. I guess if I was thinking about this and it was Donald Trump and his daughter or son, that the Democrats would be making the same sort of hay as the Republicans are now.
Well, they already do the whataboutism about Trump and Ivanka and Jared. And actually, Ivanka and Jared deal with even bigger numbers with what the Saudis.
But at least they open hotels and people can sleep in them. I mean, as opposed to selling BS that doesn't exist, vaporware.
Well, I don't accept your premise there. Okay. Hunter was selling influence. No, that
yes.
You want to call that vaporware? That vaporware is something all totally different.
Well, Hunter. The claim is here that Hunter was selling influence, or at least the suggestion is Hunter's selling influence, and he didn't get the, and that he did not deliver that influence. So yes, vaporware.
No, vaporware is a real thing.
My understanding is vaporware doesn't exist. It is vapor.
No. Hey, all right. Darn it, Mark. First I had to go find out why the Nazarites don't cut their hair. And now I've got to look up the darn definition of vaporware just to say, uh-huh. Oh, Mark.
Vaporware. All
right. Software or hardware that have been advertised but is not yet available to buy, either because it is only a concept or because it is still being written or designed. So it's software in development. That's a whole different thing than influence peddling.
Well, you are to presume that it is software in development.
That's one of the things it can be. It can be just a bunch of BS.
Yes, which is what the suggestion is that this is.
Right? Much in the same way that influence peddling can be BS or it can really have influence.
I will concede that influence peddling is a better term than vaporware in this circumstance. I just like to play with the language. Yeah. So, the question is whether or not Hunter Biden was in fact selling influence or whether he was just attempting to sell influence.
We've got a lot to say about that. So let's just get through what Devin Archer said, and then we can do our own talking.
Okay.
Devin or Devon? What was the Elton John song?
You.
Devon?
Yeah, I think so.
Something Devon.
Yeah. Well, you've dug your own hole here. Don't expect me to climb in it with you.
Yeah, so anyway. Archer also said President Biden met and spoke with his son's international business associate several times as Hunter Biden tried to boost his business, but did not discuss any business. He said Hunter Biden put his father on speakerphone to talk to business partners about 20 times over a decade, which by my math says twice a year. Members of the panel told the Times. Comer, that was the chair of the panel, said that Archer testified that President Biden was put on the phone to sell the family brand. See, that's why we need to speak so precisely, Mark. To sell the family brand, well, Biden didn't do any selling. He represented the family. We're talking about Joe Biden now. You know, he didn't have to say, oh, did you know I'm the vice president of the United States?
He doesn't have to
say, hi, I'm Joe Biden.
Yep.
All right. David Archer's testimony.
And I hear you're doing business with my son. I wonder what it is.
No, he did not say that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, he didn't have to say that, Mark.
I will concede that there is no proof that he had said it, sure. But I guess I'm just from the country, you know. Like, when I smell smoke, I expect to find fire.
Now, I'm not saying what Hunter Biden did is legal, but you understand that influence peddling is legal.
Okay, explain to me the circumstances where influence peddling is
legal. Only a couple quotes, Mark. That's why we blow through our time zone. There's just a little bit of here, and you're just chasing the shiny object.
I love shiny objects.
Burns. Oh, well, that's just James Comer bloviating again. All right. Here's where they talk about where they accuse Joe Biden of lying, which I think is sort of a stretch, too, at least on parts of this. Archer's testimony underscored, Biden falsely claimed during the 2020 campaign that no one in his family received money from China, even though Hunter and his business partners received millions from a Chinese firm. So he's splitting hairs there. Joe Biden says that nobody from my family received. They paid a company. That's just legal business. Okay? So chasing that, I think, is sort of a fruitless goal, because that is, you're still within the legal system. You're in the legal influence peddling that this country allows. Archer was unequivocal and stated very clearly they never discussed any business. This is another Democrat saying. So here's what all this says. Oh, I should give this to the Bidens too. This was in the time period after Beau died in 2015, and Joe Biden called his son frequently to check on him and how he was doing in this period of time, according to Devin Archer.
He was keeping himself, assuaged with crack.
Well, that was 2016. That says he fell deeper into his relapse into all this stuff. Okay, let's quit playing around with this. In this country, influence peddling is legal at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. But you have to do it within certain rules.
Yep.
Now, Hunter Biden did have a business partner in John Kerry's stepson. John Kerry's stepson, also the son of John Kerry's wife.
The Hines lady.
Yes, the widow that's the heir to the Hines fortune. So that young man was born into a pretty comfortable situation. And talk about having a name that opens doors, both with the Hines fortune and your John Kerry stepson. And you want to sell your business knowledge, your acumen, to businesses around the world. You got a pretty good chance to get in the door, at least to make your pitch. If you're the son of the vice president, you got a pretty good chance of that too. In fact, if you're the son of a senator from Delaware, you got a pretty good chance of that, as Hunter Biden found out when he went to work for whatever bank that was, because the banking center, Delaware, favorable banking laws there, he worked for them. Had Joe Biden's brother got some favorable bank loans when Joe Biden was just a county commissioner. So I imagine if you were to look around Manatee.
I'm smelling more smoke here, Henry. Lots of smoke.
Yes, because that's the way it works. And that's why I feel that Joe Biden, well, I would suspect that after this many decades in public office, Joe Biden knows how to tiptoe up to a line and not cross it. Like John Kerry's stepson, who...
Well, I mean, that goes hand in hand with the belief... There's no line, right? Like, you're not actually looking at a line.
Drop the Kerry kid. Yeah. So, please. All right, so he and Hunter Biden are in business together. Hunter Biden accepts the position on the board of Burisma, the energy company in Ukraine. And John Kerry's stepson says, that's a bridge too far for me. I do not want to be associated with that. We have no knowledge of this. We can't make the case that we're adding anything to their knowledge. It looks like we're just trading off her name. I am out. And Hunter Biden's like, okay, well, I got a sweet gig here.
Right.
And so Hunter, the Kerry's kid, the one that isn't the crazy drug addict, knows how to pull back from the line. Hunter Biden just shoots right across it and starts this whole thing. So what I say to you and to the audience is that Hunter Biden was an out-of-control drug addict, and there's probably lots of stuff that he did that, well, we know there's lots of stuff he did that broke laws, but he was probably out there saying whatever he had to, and I don't think Joe Biden would have done anything beyond saying, hey, I'm Joe Biden. Nice to see you. How's the weather out there? And just made his presence felt. And that's how this stuff happens all around the world in the country.
So I get it. That is what happens, and that's the problem, right? Like, we keep on giving power to these liars and thieves. But I think that the American people deserve, you know, if we're going to have somebody rule over us, it ought to be somebody who makes an effort to look unimpeachable. I'm not claiming the Republicans have provided that to us. In fact, I would claim the contrary. I would claim that this is how it is done, just like you, and that it is, but that it is unacceptable.
I say that, it's totally acceptable.
I have, okay, well, you may defend that point.
Well, I will, but not like Hunter Biden does it. So, say you've spent 20 years working in something like the Florida Department of Environmental Protection.
Okay.
That's our actual acronym or not. But you know the rivers around Florida. You worked hard at that. People know you. They know your credibility. And you come out of you've done your 20 years. You get your retirement out of the state pension plan. You're still middle-aged, and you want to go to work.
Yep.
If you decide, and you go,
I'm going to sell my knowledge that I've accumulated, through hard work inside the state, putting up with all the crap.
That's only one component. They also know when they hire you that people will answer your phone call and respond to your emails. That's influence peddling.
I agree. That's exactly right. And you also, really importantly, know how to navigate the morass of bureaucracy.
And you're going to things operate more efficiently. You can conduct influence peddling ethically.
Yep. I would say that's true, sure.
I'm glad you agree.
If we're going to live in a world with a bureaucratic nightmare of a government, then you're going to need people to help you get through it. Nothing wrong with hiring them.
Well, what you call a bureaucratic nightmare, I call clean wetlands.
I don't know whether that's true. I mean, do we really have clean wetlands? It seems like people are just throwing boa constrictors and Oscar fish and iguanas out there. And
talking about the excesses.
What's that?
We can't pay.
There's red tide blooms every year. That's coming from fertilizer. And that's coming from people who have hired, people who formerly worked for this Florida EPA that you're talking about. I mean, no, it's not. It's not solving the problem.
We have solved problems. But
I'm sure that's true.
But we've relapsed, too. Tampa Bay was almost a dead bay in the 60s. And in the 70s, we had the Tampa Bay Estuary Act. That's for those around the world or around the U.S., I know in the U.S. geography, we have to learn by going to war. But if you know where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tampa Bay Rays and the Tampa Bay Lightning are, that little finger that sticks into the Gulf of Mexico on the left side of Florida, that's where Tampa Bay is. It was dead.
It's the other Bay Area.
We had a gray film that was hung around over Tampa Bay in the 60s. We had a split government between Republicans and Democrats that actually were trying to compete to do something right in the state of Florida. And Senator Pat Neal helped co-sponsor the Tampa Bay Estuaries Act, which was the beginning of the process that cleaned up Tampa Bay and restored a lot of the sea life, at least through the 80s and 90s and into the 2000s. And that same person is now one of the biggest developers in the state of Florida, causing the same runoff that you now blame, and rightly so, for the algae blooms and the red tide. So the good guy of the 70s becomes the bad guy later. Things change, but there was a moment in time where we had progress in this state.
No doubt the broken clock can strike right twice.
The clock wasn't a working clock. The clock broke later.
Well,
we became a party state.
Okay, so your claim is that purple states work better than red states or blue states?
My claim is that when the two factions are competing for the approval of the electorate on substance, the electorate gets better results.
Yeah, I would tend to agree that that's the case. Yeah. But the government, when forced to compete, is at its best.
True. And we've also had in this state, and I imagine if we looked at California or some of the other one-party states, we'd find the same thing. We've had 20 years of working the system to finagle and, in the case of reforms, find a way to keep people from voting in the... And I'm not talking about ethnically. That's a whole separate issue. But just keep the vote small and tight and a narrow electorate making the choices.
Indeed. There's no doubt that it's one of the strategies of the Republican Party to limit the amount of people that vote. I, too, believe that if you have, like, I would limit it differently. I would limit it on something more fair, but that's part of the strategy. I mean,
well, in Florida was a one-party state under the Democrats pretty much after Reconstruction up until the 1960s.
Right. And
then that's why you couldn't overturn segregation and Jim Crow until
they weren't going to let that happen.
Until it got competitive on the vote.
It wasn't until the
decisions that caused people to make changes in their behavior too.
Right. It was the Southern strategy.
Time. What are we going to do next week?
We're going to talk about the week.
We're
going to
talk about everything. I think we actually have done 4 shows now.
Yeah, this is our 4th show.
Yeah, I was looking in the archives there, and so I don't know what we must have talked about everything in the world by now.
No, new things will happen. They'll be outrageous too.
Well, and we'll have.
I hope it's something as fun as UFOs, though. I hope it's something as fun as UFOs because that was really awesome.
All right. Well, I will be on the lookout for that. We'll have 3 hours of pickleball discussion.
We're both fans.
To everybody for listening to Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.